Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Gil, when you say those radio announcers, you're excluding one Dan DeVoma Kahuna, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Kenny loves that, man. Loves when I get put in my place.
Well, you give him a lot of material. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'll tell you what. Jersey Ken, what do you think of the All-Star game this year?
I'm down. I like it. Talking about the four team split.
They're not going to cancel it. What do you mean? Are you in?
Well, they should have.
You know, Steph Curry was the one. I don't know if he was the one, but he was the one who consulted with.
Was he on the committee?
Yeah, he was the one who consulted with the commissioner.
This is for the four team format. They got it, man.
They got it right. I don't know what it's going to look like. Oh. I can buy this.
Now, why are you buying it? You haven't seen it before.
Well, I like it. On paper,
because it's just different than the crap that they've been putting out the last few years.
Let's just break this down. So you got three teams comprised of eight players, which I like.
Sure.
And then you
have spots.
You know, you've got this what is it, the futures game or the what do they call it? The
futures game.
Rising Stars. So you have the Rising Stars, the winner of the Rising Stars, like it's basically rookies versus second year players.
Pajemski.
And so they will take on, they'll be one of the four teams. And so I think that there's going to be a level.
They're
going to
win it all.
There's going to be a level. Well, because they're going to play.
Yeah, because they actually care and they don't know better.
Well, they're going to set the tempo on this whole thing. That's the X factor. Because they're going to want to go up against the All-Stars. And you rest assured, those boys are going to go. And if you're an NBA All-Star, you're going to be like, hell no. And we're actually going to get some basketball amongst the best players in the NBA.
Well, I think what we're going to get is a nice blend. So, like, for example, Wembanyama is going to be an All-Star. So which team does he play for? Does he play for the Rising Stars? Does he play for one of the three All-Star teams?
You always got to, like, ruin everything. I don't know. Jesus. He's going to be on one of the teams.
No, but my point is he can't push himself. He can't push the rest of his young guys. To me, you got to choose. He can be an All-Star, but he's got to be with the young dudes. Because Wembanyama...
Okay. Let's put him with the young guys.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's going to happen. Also, I feel like there's going to be this peer pressure, like, in-game that LeBron's going to be looking at I don't know, name your rookie. He's going to be looking at Rhys Sachet and being like, dude, why are you trying?
Is LeBron an all-star this year?
I don't know. Probably. His name is LeBron James.
Job, Ken, keep punching holes in this thing of Evan Giddings trying to take away my all-star game that I'm finally
excited. I don't even know what I'm arguing with you about. I just want to do it because it's fun. But LeBron's going to look at this guy who's 34 years younger than him and says, all right, buddy, what are we doing here? The moment that Rhys Sachet blows by him, LeBron's not going to be like, oh, well, now I'm going to try harder because these young guys, we got to show the young guys. He's going to be like, dude, do you know what this is? This is an exhibition. I'm not trying to break a sweat.
Well, but I think there's going to be an attitude change. Because the tournament idea, anything that involves a tournament, I think creates a level of competition.
Yeah, the NBA Cup was real competitive.
The NBA tournament. Well, this is
the Emirates Cup.
The
Don't be disrespectful.
Have you flown in Emirates, by the way?
Yes.
I have a buddy who flew first class.
Yes,
on Emirates.
I have. And first class. I haven't been first class.
Oh, I hear it's crazy. Crazy. Like, my buddy said it was better than his first apartment. Like, it was bigger than his studio in New York. He didn't want to leave when the flight landed.
Need to do?
He had, like, a personal bathroom.
Well, you got everything. You got a personal butler, from what I've heard. What they need to do in order to get rid of this, because, you know, when you get on planes, you have to walk through first class to get to economy or whatever they call it now to make you feel better about not being able to afford first class.
Yeah.
You have to board in the back. I'm sorry. I don't want to see what life is like for the other side before I step into your poverty-stricken section of an airplane. I don't want to do it. Put me in the back and let me just revel in whatever you bring for me. Emirates is very nice, but, you know, Southwest, all the rest. Don't let me step through the door to Narnia and then show me out the back to some alleyway. I don't want it.
The worst is when they close that curtain. Like, all right.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
You got the have-nots back here.
Although, if you're a real one, you know, if you're just going to go full Wade Boggs, the place to find all your libations for the plane is in first class. So you can kind of sneak in through.
Oh, come on, man. That's urban legend. He did not drink that many beers. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, I am. Yeah, on a one-way flight from, Seattle to Boston? Boston to Seattle?
There's no way he crushed.
It's like 200 beers.
There's no way, man. Have you ever seen It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
It's my favorite episode.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, when Charlie is the only one that makes it to Boston. And the best part is when they go to the baseball field at the end, and he's just stumbling drunk because he's had 76 beers. And he hits a ball to the gap. Falls over.
That was the best.
And then his buddy tells him, dude, well, Wade Boggs went 0-for-4 that night. You know what that means, right? You're betting the Wade Boggs. And he goes up. He's like, Wade Boggs.
What they need to do is, like, why wouldn't you just make the entire plane first class? Why? Why not give, like, foot space? Why not give all the amenities to first class? The first person that captures that is going to be a moneymaker. Like, you're going to win. Everybody's just trying to cram more people in. Everybody's just trying to do it on the cheap instead of embracing. Like, let's just cater to the people. Why not cater to the consumer? Why do I have to pay a change fee? Hey, I can't fly out on the 5th of October. I got to fly out on the 8th. Yeah, you can fly out on the 8th, but it's going to cost you $250. Why? Well, it's a change fee. What? It's like banking fees. Like, what are we doing here? Why screw the customer? The first person that embraces the customer shoots to the top. Like, the entire plane ought to be first class.
I don't think that's how that works.
I know it doesn't how it works. And I'm not saying that it has to be a first-class ticket in terms of price. Like, the price should be the same, but have, like, the standard of your experience while flying, wherever it is that you're going, should be like that of what first class is currently.
No, I agree, and I would love for every single part of a plane to be first class. But, well, number one, it would be more expensive. Flying would be, like, dude, I can get a round-trip flight to San Diego for $75.
Southwest, holding that card.
Or Spirit or whatever.
Spirit. They charged me $4 for water. Whatever, it's not free.
Whatever wooden flight you get on and just cruise in.
Spirit's going to turn into like a crop duster. They're just going to like get in the area and say, all right, jump. I don't even land.
I mean, you basically have to sneak a bag in. They say, oh, yeah, don't worry. The ticket's only $20, but the bag's $48.
They just filed for bankruptcy, by the way.
Well, good.
Yeah, it's a matter of time.
I mean, well, maybe they can get bailed out. I need a flight down
Southwest
to San Diego for Christmas.
Never had an accident.
All right, well, now you just jinxed
it. I know, man.
Why would you say that?
I know, bro.
I'm flying Southwest going for Christmas. My mom's going to kill you.
Somebody shooting free throws. He hasn't missed in the last 2 weeks.
Now, speaking of poor free throw shooting, let's go to the coach in Vallejo who wants to talk about Kuminga. Sorry, that was a cheap shot. Get us back on track, coach. What's going on? Hope you had a happy holiday.
Hey, I did. Same to you guys. But Evan, you kind of broke my heart because normally you're a very fair and non-biased person, but your take on Kuminga is totally wrong, and I'll tell you why. You talked about his rebounding numbers. Number one, why he doesn't rebound as much as Podziemski. Off the top, he doesn't play as much, okay, and he doesn't play consistently as much. That's number one. Number two, Kuminga has to guard guards. He plays out on top a lot. As he was playing Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, he plays Lillard. He plays point guards a lot, both he and Wiggins. That's going to affect their rebounding numbers. Podziemski guards no one. There's no guard in the league he can guard, so therefore, after everyone blocks out, he rushes in. He's what's called a rebound stealer. Now, I like his hustle, and that's good, but that's what he does because there's no one he can guard. And number three, again, Kuminga's such a unique talent. If he was given 30 minutes a night, 25 minutes a night consistently, you're going to see those numbers goes up. But he plays in 4, 5, 6 minute stretches. Kerr snatches him in, snatches him out, snatches him in, snatches him out. Podziemski, he'll play half the second quarter, then the first half of the third quarter. So you're not really being fair to Kuminga at all. Now, however, if Kuminga's numbers were like Podziemski's numbers this year, you guys would be calling him unplayable. Podziemski is unplayable right now. His three-point shooting is a lot better than Podziemski's. Again, Podziemski, I don't really think is an NBA ball player. He's become Kerr's favorite. Fans are hating Podziemski right now. He's the Jordan Poole right now because he talks a lot of stuff. And he doesn't put up numbers. He meets every microphone. He's every post game. He's always jumping in somebody else's shot when they're being interviewed. So Podziemski is not a very popular fellow right now. But anyway, I got that out of my system.
Hey, coach,
and happy holidays,
coach. Sure. Sorry, no, hold on. No, so with Kuminga, look, I agree. Comparing him and Podziemski is unfair. Their games are different. Their roles are different. Their positions are different. What I was talking about, and I want to throw in and get your opinion on this, is the fact that compared to himself, Kuminga compared to himself last season has not taken a large step, at least from what I've seen. Maybe you've seen it a bit differently. All I was talking about in regards to his numbers is that they have not gone up or they've gone down compared to what he did last season when I thought he took a great leap in his third year.
You know what? And here's my answer to that. I agree. But they started featuring Kuminga at that one stretch, that month and a half stretch.
Yeah.
He was featured at that stretch. Listen, if you're on the court and you got a Steph Curry and you got a Buddy Hield, you got a healthy and well-playing Wiggins, there's not a lot of basketball left for you to play, okay? And I'll tell you what, Kuminga, his value to the Warrior team, he draws fouls better than anyone on the team. Okay, and I hope his free throw shooting gets better. It was 75% last year. But I tell you, there's not a lot for Kuminga to do out there because he's got a lot of other scorers out there now, especially with Wiggins playing well, and they're playing the same position. Remember last year, Wiggins wasn't there, okay? And they had to use Kuminga in that aspect. But this year, he's sharing a lot of that role with Wiggins, and I like to see them both on the court at the same time a little bit more.
I'm with you, Coach. I'm 100% with you there. I do think that Kerr, in order to find the potential that this team has or find the ceiling of this team, unless they decide to make a move and whatever, we'll talk about that when it happens. I do think that Wiggins and Kuminga have to find a way to coexist, because it's just basketball. Like if I listed the best players on the Warriors, Kuminga is in that group of top 7 or 8 guys. And the fact that he can't play, or Wiggins can't play, I don't want to put it all on JK, that one of those two guys can't seem to play with the other, well, then that is a problem. Like, Kuminga is one of the Warriors' most talented players. He might not be playing as one of their best right now, but I don't see how this team can get markedly better unless he and Wiggins find a way to coexist.
So what's your starting lineup?
My starting lineup would be, you know, assuming that Curry, who, by the way, was a full participant in practice yesterday, he's trending towards playing tonight in Phoenix. My starting lineup would be Curry, Wiggins, Kuminga, Draymond, TJD. And then the closing lineup, because as much as I know you love Trayce Jackson-Davis, he cannot close because he can't make free throws. It is some combination of Curry, Waters, Hield, or Moody, Wiggins, Kuminga, Draymond.
Well, there's some holes in that.
There's holes in whatever they throw out there, yeah. To be honest.
You've gone really small, right? And the idea, the reason that those two can't coexist, it's not as though Kerr hasn't tried. This is one of those where I think you just have to defer to Kerr. And it doesn't... Jonathan Kuminga has got to be able to shoot the basketball from distance if he wants to play on the floor with Andrew Wiggins. It's just... I get what it is the coach is saying, and I hope I'm not coming off, although I am, as hating on this guy. It just it gets to a point where you've got to take the bull by the horns, Jonathan. You've got every opportunity, and the reason why you have limited playing time is because when you get your opportunity, you're not, you know, wow in the world. You're not taking over. You're not being that guy that everybody thought that you potentially could be. The athleticism, and yeah, you're right. He does get to the free throw line more than anybody because he creates action. He's the only guy who can ISO and get to his spot or take you off the bounce and get to the rim. And more often than not, if you're aggressive, you're going to get rewarded and get to the free throw line. But there's got to be consistency. You got to stop getting sped up. You got to stop dribbling with your head down into three dudes. You cannot make these errant passes. Otherwise, I cannot play you with the sort of consistency or the sort of, you know, time that you want. And that's just sort of the bottom line in all of this when it comes to Jonathan Kuminga. He's got to show the maturity.
I mean, I think, well, he did, like, in a game like Houston earlier this year, like, they don't win that game without Kuminga. He scores 6 points in overtime. But those moments don't happen consistently enough yet. You know, Pods, I think, had a similar situation. He got some big baskets against Houston down the stretch of that game. Against OKC, couldn't buy a bucket. You know, both of those players, and again, I pair them together because I think they have the greatest impact of raising the ceiling of the Warriors season, because, you know, at age 36, I think Curry's still he's obviously really damn good. I don't know how much better he can get because of his age, and because I think Kerr is trying to prioritize suppressing his minutes, which is something we can get to in a little bit. I don't think Wiggins is a player that is going to score 20 points a night every single night anymore. And if he is, that might not be the best thing because he's hunting shots. He's not playing within the flow of the offense. Draymond's obviously not a scorer. Buddy Hield is a player that I've considered turning back towards. I don't know. You and I were in agreement early in the year that his role is as the sixth man and as the gunner. But if Lenny Waters III is going to shoot 35 or 36% from three, Kuminga can't be a knockdown three-point shooter just yet. Pajemski's going to be shooting horribly from three-point range. They might have to put Buddy Hield in the starting lineup or the closing lineup. And I don't necessarily like it because I think down the stretch of games he's going to get hunted, but he spaces the floor and he makes other people's job easier. And when he's feeling it, he can help win you a game.
The other thing Coach talked about, which I have to take difference with, is that the rebounding is, you can't make excuses for rebounding. Not when you're 6'7 or 6'8. There's no excuse. Don't give me the coach, I love you, but he's guarding guards. First of all, I don't know if that's necessarily true, but I don't care. If you're out on the floor, get a rebound. You know, Cade Cunningham, Luka Doncic is a quote-unquote guard. Kyrie Irving rebounds the basketball. LaMelo Ball gets you rebounds. Cade Cunningham is the best statistically rebounding guard in the game today. I can give you a host of guys who guard guards.
Some guys have a nose for the ball and others don't.
Well, and therein lies the issues I think a lot of people have with Jonathan Kuminga. And it's a do or don't. Either you have it in your system or you don't. You're right. That's what rebounding is. That's what playing defense is. It's either you have it or you don't. And that's, you can't make excuses, Coach. You can't tell me because he's out on the perimeter that he's not getting rebounds. A, I don't know that that's necessarily true. And even if it is, that's no excuse. You're making excuses for the guy who's at 6'8". Go get some boards. And the fact that that's not in your DNA is concerning.
No, but it's, I think it's also highlighted because, like, Wiggins doesn't rebound the ball very well either. You know, a lot of his big rebounding games are because he'll get a few offensive boards because he misses bunnies at the rim. Like, I don't think Wiggins, he rebounds better than Kuminga, but they're both averaging like 4.5 rebounds a game. They both don't rebound the ball. And that therein lies another problem with the Warriors, which is why, you know, in one breath, I just said I want to see more of Kuminga and Wiggins together. But the problem with it is that they're very similar players, I think, in their approach and what they do and what they don't do. Wiggins, obviously, a better three-point shooter. I think Kuminga gets downhill better. You know, I think they're both effective scorers. They both don't really rebound that well for players that are 6'6 or 6'7, for as freakish of athletes as they are. They both are good perimeter defenders, which to me is the biggest plus that they add together. But they don't really initiate offense for others. They can create for themselves, but they don't get into the lane and kick out. When they get downhill, they attack and they take shots. And I think that's why Kerr has tried to separate them so that there's offense on the floor no matter what time. And I think Kuminga probably plays better. I think he plays better in the second and third quarters of games. Like, you know, the mistakes you were talking about, I don't think is an unfair criticism. But to me, it happens more at the beginning of end of games, if he's starting, for example, or closing, because the game is slower. When the game gets into the transition period that the NBA has just moved into with the ridiculous pace that the game is played at, that's where he thrives. I mean, he is a terror in transition. I think he also begins to get into a rhythm in those second and third quarters. And if he comes off the bench, he also plays against backups, which probably helps him a little bit. So, you know, I don't think it was a coincidence that in the second half against OKC, he sees a couple of threes go in, and then he locks in. And I thought he played extremely well in the third quarter of that game and was a big reason why the Warriors even made it a game in the first place. But it just doesn't happen for all four quarters, and that's why, you know, probably Kerr is saying, hey, well, if I can't have Kuminga and Wiggins on the same floor at the same time, I'm gonna prioritize Wiggins because he's more consistent.
I would say Wiggins is a better defender, than Jonathan Kuminga right now.
But together, I think they're your two best perimeter defenders, not named Draymond Green.
I'm willing to give him, you know, I'm like everybody else. I'm willing to give him his run and be patient. But it gets to the point where, is this it? Is this the final product? Because there seems to be this. There's a lot more coming. You know, just wait for the second act. You know, Jonathan Kuminga, this is just round one with this kid. Watch out, because he's going to put it all together. He's a young basketball player, and I don't know. You start as the years go by. I think more and more of us begin to realize that this is it, man. He can be really good, and sometimes he just doesn't get it. But again, you know, well, he's going to get his opportunities. It's just, Jonathan, it's there for you. Go ahead and take it, man.
We'll see. No, I think the other part of this, too, is Kerr. I mean, do you think that the Warriors, because this is something that hurt them I don't know if it was down the stretch of the season, but like when they play small, I think they're probably at their best, but that puts a lot more pressure on Draymond. You know, would you like to see the Warriors go smaller more?
You can't anymore in this league. You can't do it. You saw it against OKC. They got not only one, but two rim protectors. You can't do it with Hartenstein. You can't do it with Chet Holmgren. You can't. Every team's now got bigs. And while it was good and sort of, trending back in the day and sort of cute and sexy, everybody shoots threes like that of the Warriors. But everybody now has more of a balance than Golden State. And the idea of going small does not work in today's NBA. It's sort of like, again, to give you the NFL analogies, it's like spread offenses are going the way of the dinosaurs. People now are going, they're bringing back the running back and two tight ends. And the NBA evolves, or it's cyclical, however it is you want to frame it. But the idea of trying to go small in today's NBA, to me, it doesn't work, because you have to at some point either rim protect or have somebody who's going to give you points in the paint.
Well, and as we move on to our final segment, again, Warriors this week, 9 to noon, every single Saturday on 95.7 The Game, I think we can dig into Kerr a little bit, because I think the smaller lineup that we saw against Oklahoma City, it's different than the small lineups we've seen for the past couple of years, and I'll tell you why on the other side. Evan Giddings and Dan DeVone back for one final segment after this. 888-957-9570 is the number, also the Comcast Business Text Line.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are, right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be back in a moment.
Evan, you kind of broke my heart.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Heartbreaker.
Yeah, Tom Petty.
Good job. Hey, come on. There you go, Jersey Ken. Ken's always giving you a hard time for your lack of history knowledge or musical knowledge.
Not for just lack of musical knowledge. There's many other things Ken gives me crap about. But see, all right, actually, I want to do this. Give me a homework assignment, and next Saturday, I promise you that I will come back with knowledge of whatever rock legend that you feel like I lack.
I got a plethora of bands I can give you.
Well, just name one. Do you want me to start with Pink Floyd? I heard he's a cool guy.
Well, first of all, it's a band. That's not good.
We don't need no education.
You know, we should listen to. I feel like Steely Dan would be up your alley. Oh.
Yeah, he'd
some
like
yacht rock.
No, Dan's in the name. I can't do it.
He'd like Steely Dan.
Probably. The thing is, so everyone was talking about the wall. Is it the wall? Yeah. Or Dark Side of the Moon is the best double album.
No sarcasm in the classroom.
What about Animals? You know that one, Dan? Animals?
I do. Yeah. Give it to me.
I know Glass Animals.
There's just, it's a lot of, I mean, they're mainly a prog rock band, but yeah, just a lot of like 10-minute just instrumental songs. They're it's one of their best albums.
No, but this is where the gearheads or the guitar heads lose me. There's so many different niche genres within rock. You said prog rock? What is prog rock?
Progressive.
Oh, that was rock from Prague. Like,
that's
seriously,
a two.
No, you got to be more specific. Because
That's the most specific you can get right
there. What about conservative rock, or is that just gospel?
That's yacht rock, pretty much.
What's a yacht? On a boat?
Yeah. There's actually a documentary out at Dan on HBO. They're like Christopher Cross, I think, is kind of behind it as well. But you know Christopher Cross.
Sailing, take me away. He was the guy. He lost like 100 pounds.
And one more failed note from walking out of here. Serious. What do you think Steve Kerr is? You think he likes rock?
Seems
like kind of like a reggae guy to me.
Yeah.
Like low key.
I think he maybe like some 80s rock, maybe. I think he'd be down with Tom Petty.
Well, Tom Petty's, yeah.
Tom Petty's not 80s, but
Steve Kerr doesn't back down, so.
Yeah, I won't.
Tom Petty.
The majority of my knowledge is either from before the year 1970 or after the year 2020. But, you know, you got to pick your spots. That's what the Warriors haven't been doing.
By the way, before we move on, well, no, because you started this.
And what did I do?
You mentioned Prague. I, as a good-looking, single, sort of, I don't know, are you still single? I never know with you. Anyways, a man
you
who
called
is,
me a heartbreaker off the top of the segment.
Prague is a place you need to check out. Don't underestimate the Czech Republic, man. I'm telling you, Prague has some of the most beautiful. I've never been. I'm just telling you, I think Prague has some of the most beautiful, from what I've heard and friends who have traveled that went there as single people did not return as single men. So, food for thought.
They didn't return?
Well, they met there. That in Argentina, I have friends who went to both places and were no longer single 6 months later, ended up marrying people. Although it's always a struggle. What's going to happen to you, young fella, is that you're going to meet somebody from another country and you're going to fall in love because you seem to be a little, counterculture. You're sort of like, I want to meet somebody from a different land because they're different. And that's really cool for the first maybe 3 to 5 years. But if you're going to get married, somebody has to compromise. You're not listening or writing any of this down.
I'm looking at Prague right now.
This is wasted sort of knowledge. At some point, you're going to have to compromise.
This is why I'm single. I don't listen. No, but I think I did it to Brazilian.
I'm telling you, Prague is amazing.
No, I got to get out there. There's a few places on my list. I've been able to travel each of the past two summers now that I finally got a little bit of coin. And I will say the most beautiful people, not just women, but honestly men too, Swedes, Scandinavians in general, beautiful people, but Swedes specifically, I don't know if I've met, just a more like classically beautiful group of people, not all their personalities, but aesthetically speaking, visually. Yeah, but I'll have to check out Prague. I'll let you know how it goes because I won't be back.
Did you like Brazil? I told you my favorite name of any
city. Never have been to Brazil, but I've dated a couple Brazilians. And
I've said this
also
to you.
Beautiful
every
people.
Time we mention Brazil, my favorite name of a city anywhere in the world is in Brazil. Bon Jesus. Where are you from? From Bon Jesus, baby.
Bon Jesus?
Yeah.
You ever been there?
Bon Jesus.
Well, that's Portuguese, right?
Yeah, well, they speak Portuguese.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Portuguese.
Mm-hmm.
Caipirinha. Go ahead.
I don't know. I don't really know. I'm going to transition out of this. I tried to grab the baton earlier.
Back to Wiggins.
Yeah, Ken, you want to help me? Back to Wiggins. Oh, no, we've already
you guys about the Suns tonight?
You want to talk Wiggins about enough. Steve Kerr, right? You guys were on Steve Kerr before the break.
Were we?
Allegedly.
Apparently, Were you on the show where he was asked what it is that, I think it was Jake that asked him what it is that is his go-to for Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm.
And it was the yams with the marshmallows.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I lost all respect for him.
Well, you're about to lose some respect for me, too. Candied yams are delicious.
The who the hell eats marshmallows for an entree?
Well, you don't have to. First of all, it's a side. It's not an entree.
You'd be outside with the dogs. Sound like my aunt, Joe from Jersey.
It's where the Italian side of the Hawaiian Dan Devone comes out. No, candied yams are good. Now, they don't have to be. It doesn't have to be fully marshmallowed, but marshmallowed yams are delicious. Dude, do you like sweet potatoes?
Well, sweet potatoes, I do. I sort of force them down because the health benefits are amazing.
You force down sweet potatoes. What?
I eat them. They're not.
So you don't like
them?
They're
high caloric food, so I try and stay away. But they're good. But they're all the health benefits of sweet potatoes are like you look at some of those. What do they call the blue zones?
They're one of the cleanest carbohydrates you can consume.
Thank you.
But on Thanksgiving, you can throw some marshmallows on top. Dude, you're eating 16 pies anyways.
I'm telling you, come on, man.
Apple, sweet potato pie, that was last night. I'm not a big pumpkin pie guy, I'm going to be honest.
If ever I invite you over...
Cherry pie.
...for dinner...
Lemon meringue.
I will tell you right now, CeCe is not going to allow you to put out your mushrooms. You'll probably be
easy,
on mushrooms.
Easy, buddy. Easy.
I'm sure the mushrooms would have been pre-dinner for you.
Yeah, don't worry, CeCe. I'm not bringing those in the house.
But there will be no marshmallows on the table. Like, you can't have marshmallows. Marshmallows, and for me, raisins. Like, you can't have raisins on like... Eat raisins when you're 12 years old, but not for dinner and on any dish.
Well, but people put different stuff in the stuffing. Like, it doesn't. Some people put raisins. Some people put cherries. Some people put, I don't know, just cranberries.
Not normal people. Not people that can cook.
Dude, the amount. How many Thanksgivings have you been to that haven't been in your own home? People are a little bit strange. I admit that. But there's so many different variations.
Cherries in a stuffing.
They're pretty good.
Actually, that. I might.
That's abominable.
What? Like a snowman? You've never had cherries in stuffing?
Never. What?
What do you put in your stuffing?
Well,
anything sweet?
My mother-in-law makes it actually pretty good. She puts black olives in it. And it's very good.
I could go there.
Ground beef, and then cilantro, which cooked down, it doesn't taste like cilantro like you're putting on tacos.
So you've never had cherries in stuffing?
Never.
So you don't know?
No.
If it's good or not?
Don't want to know.
Well, I don't like olives, so. God love your mother-in-law, but...
Marinated? Are they fried? Are they... What are we doing to the...
They're kind of baked in. Yeah, it adds an extra sweetness. So if you don't want to, you know, flood your entire plate with cranberry sauce, you can just... You have a little mixed into the stuffing.
Hmm.
Also, in general, stuffing isn't... I don't know if it's my favorite part of the Thanksgiving meal. I don't know why. Well, Ken was talking about this yesterday. Like, he doesn't like turkey.
Neither do I.
What?
I just think it's overrated now. It's like, you don't need just give me the sides.
It's been the same since the Pilgrims purged the Native Americans on Plymouth Rock.
So let me tell you something. So we eat crab, right?
What?
My family will eat crab. We don't even know. We got rid of the turkey. And so if you were to look, because we're like, you know, to me, it's all about just being with family and friends and celebrating. It's not as much about the food. But if you do want to get literal about the food, you're right. It was the earliest English colonists or settlers, the Pilgrims. And when they arrived at Plymouth Rock and for 3 days broke bread with the Native Americans, they were at... Where is Plymouth Rock? It's on the shores of the Atlantic. What was one of the main...
It's kind of a dirty area.
Entrees, if you're thinking about proximity to the water...
Crab.
Shellfish. And venison and deer. Nobody was putting
that... You eat venison on Thanksgiving?
They did. I'm just telling you that this idea, we've been bastardized that like somebody along the way said, let's put that skinny, ugly-ass bird in our body. Nobody's eating turkey back in the day. You think
you're just talking
the Native
about clean
Americans,
carbs. Turkey's one of the cleanest foods you could possibly
Native
digest.
Native Americans were putting that turkey when you
Shout
got
Shout out
this.
Ben Franklin, by the way. He wanted that to be the national bird.
Yeah, that's right.
Over the bald eagle.
Well, I'm glad he didn't have to decide what the bird of our country was.
Would you ever eat turkey aside from Thanksgiving? Like, when are you, like, you go over to somebody's house and like, well, I
ate ground turkey all the time.
No, I'm talking about having it as a dinner main entree, not turkey sandwich.
Well, the only reason that I wouldn't do it is because it is quite a process to cook the turkey. I mean, it's much easier to just cook a chicken or, fried beef.
Turducken?
I've never done the turducken. The only time I've ever seen that and it looked interesting was when John Madden explained.
Yeah. Well, he invented it, didn't he?
He invented the turducken. That we're going to have to fact check. God rest John Madden's soul. But this is from the 650. Stuffing linguica? Is that what you're talking about?
That sounds good.
Olives, celery, onion, bell pepper, and mushroom.
And the mushroom makes it happen.
Well, I do like mushrooms.
You go 650.
Olives I'm out on. They just never got along with me. There's only few things in this world.
You don't like mushrooms?
No. Olives.
Terrible.
Olives I can't do.
Clamatos?
They're fine. Oh, tomatoes? Yeah, of course.
No, clamato.
Oh.
It's an olive.
What's that?
It's an olive.
I like olive oil.
It's a green olive.
No, I am a savory guy over sweet, but there's just something, the texture messes with me.
See, if you get into olive oil...
Mushrooms are a poor man's steak, so I can do that.
Olive oil is like, seriously, olive oil can be like good wines. Like, if you know your olive oils and the regions, and especially in Italy, it's like amazing, man. Like, there's some really... Once you be able to develop a palate for olive oil, you can eat probably half of the food that you eat, you could just add some olive oil and just go raw. I'm talking about whatever your vegetables, your go-tos, and olive oil can accentuate, if it's good olive oil, just about anything you eat.
I wholeheartedly believe you, but I'm curious as to how one develops a palate for olive oil. Do you go olive oil tasting, like wine?
There
actually is olive oil tasting.
Yeah, sure there is. There's...
just by itself? Like you just dip a spoon in and...
Yeah, it's... You know what it gets paired with a lot? It's...
oxygen?
No, it's oh my god, it's for when you
a bread,
when you're not hunting for mushrooms, but what is it, you're what's
foraging?
Well, it's
farming.
No, it's another word for mushrooms.
Oh, shrooming.
Again, it's you on a Friday night. I guess let's just move on.
I don't take shrooms on Friday. No, you don't go on Friday nights. It's more of a day thing.
Yeah, all this talk about food. How do the Warriors cook up a win tonight against the Suns?
Wow. Thank you, Ken.
Look at Ken, man.
Jersey Ken.
There's a reason why he is who he is.
This guy's a professional.
Can't be anybody and produce at this station.
No, well. Ken keeps us on track, but as someone who was once a very formative and unpolished producer, I was Jonathan Kuminga back in my day, but now I've been able to grow.
You were running as a producer, at least from what I remember.
Well, it's much like this show. I feel like during the breaks or before, one of us would walk in or walk out and tell the other, "Yeah, what do you want to talk about right now?" And then someone would say, "You know, oh, olive oil and cleansing palates, or the fact that first class seats should be throughout every single airplane and not just on one." But as far as the Warriors in Phoenix tonight, there is one thing that I think, because we've been talking about the Warriors' like lack of talent or star power. That is going to be on full display tonight. It doesn't mean they can't win the game. And actually, I like the Warriors to bounce back and beat Phoenix tonight if Curry plays. But the Phoenix Suns with Durant, Beal, and Booker, I believe, have only lost two games. It's two or three. So they've finally figured out, at least so far, how their big three can coexist. And I think the glue to all three of them is a point guard. It's Tyus Jones. I think his addition this offseason was massive because it took Booker off the ball. It took a little more pressure off of Durant and even Beal to handle the rock. Beal's also just playing better. But the Phoenix Suns have found something that the Warriors have not, which is kind of how to glue their strongest pieces together.
But I think the Phoenix Suns serve as a perfect example of what the Warriors need to be very weary of and not duplicating, and an example of how it can go wrong for you. As much as we want that other free agent, and as much as we get enticed by some of the bigger names out there, last year obviously it was Paul George, is that their exhibit A of how when you go top heavy, it doesn't work. And you see it repeatedly throughout the NBA, but they might be the most blatant example of getting stars, bringing them together, and it just simply doesn't gel.
But what if it works this year?
Well, it has. I mean, what if, you know, I mean, do you really want to play that game? Because the problem is that what is the one thing we've seen in the NBA this year more than anything else? And I'll tell you, it's injuries. Injuries are clearly something that you have to deal with. And not every star, but the majority of stars at some point have spent time on the disabled list or the injury list. And when you're top heavy and you lose Kevin Durant for a few games, you don't, or if you lose any of those guys, Booker, if you lose Beal, and you don't have depth, you know, then you're very, very susceptible. And that's exactly what Phoenix has had to deal with. So when you're centric on three guys and you don't have the depth and you can't go 9, 10, or the Warriors case, 13 deep, there's a good chance that you can lose one of those top, you know, three guys. And then what? When you don't have, you know, who are you turning to?
Well, who you're turning to. But, I mean, injuries always dictate the playoffs in general. I mean, last year, you could make a case that Milwaukee might have challenged Boston if not for Giannis getting hurt. I mean, I think there's other cases around the league in which led to a particular team making a run. I mean, the Warriors have benefited from injuries during their postseason runs. But at the end of the day, you need guys, like you need dudes. And I think that's why everyone was skeptical about the Warriors entering this season, is that they don't have a lot of dudes. Now, they've had players so far that have played at or above expectation, but in the last three games, they've been kind of coming back down to earth a little bit. You know, so how do they measure up against a Phoenix team that when they're at full strength, when their guys, when their dudes are healthy, they're pretty damn difficult to beat?
Where's everybody at with Kevin Durant now? Has enough time passed where that whole thing has sort of dissipated? As far as Kevin Durant and the angst that it would create in the Bay Area.
If what?
Well, just Draymond Green on the same floor as Kevin Durant. Does that have the same sort of appeal as it once did?
No, I mean, I think Kevin Durant is enough removed. It's been like, what, 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, but I'm still, you know, you see Kevin Durant out there and you see the Warriors. It dust up some emotion.
Well, hopefully it brings the best out of Draymond and Curry, because I think they're both extremely competitive, but I mean, I don't know. I enjoyed watching KD and Steph playing together in the Olympics this summer.
Yeah.
Forgot what that was like. Made me think about, well, you know, if they were able to make a move or make a trade. I don't think the Suns wanted to trade Durant this summer, though we entertained that a couple of shows. I mean, KD's still incredible. Dude, he's shooting 55% on the floor.
Hey, speaking of KD, did you see what Yusuf Nurkic said the other day?
I can't stand him, by the way, but no.
Did you hear? A lot of people in the NBA don't like him.
He was in the locker room, and they were talking about him, and he was talking about their win against the Lakers. He goes, I've been judged since I got here the most. Everybody wants me to play the KD role. That's not exactly how that works.
Wait, who said that?
Nurkic. You want to hear it?
Yes.
Hang on.
Yusuf Nurkic might be, okay, speaking of irrational confidence, that might be the number one culprit of irrational confidence in the NBA today.
And I've been judged, I feel like, for the most of the part since I got here the most, and felt like everybody just wanted me to play KD role, but with two shots. It's not how it works.
That doesn't even make any sense. I'm not trying to make fun of the guy because English obviously isn't his first language. Nurkic has always thought more of himself than he should. And that's where that comes from. Yusuf Nurkic thought he should have been the dude. So going back to his origin, he was drafted in the first round in front of Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be the next center in Denver. And then they shipped him off because obviously they found maybe the greatest player in the world right now. And Nurkic has been searching for a home and a role that he thinks is commensurate with how good he believes he is ever since. And in Phoenix, it's like, no, people don't expect you to be KD. They expect you to be not even DeAndre Ayton. They expect you to be Clint Capella, but you're out there shooting threes, making a fool of yourself.
Speaking of DeAndre Ayton, he's now like the third best big man on that Portland team.
They're not terrible either.
No, Portland's got some boys, and they got some big boys who can go. DeAndre Ayton's just like, he doesn't even fit in. They don't even need him anymore.
The Klingon?
But Nurkic, yes. I love that player. Nurkic is... There's something about... You know what's funny about Draymond Green? There's a common thread here. I'm not defending Draymond Green.
You can.
But Rudy Gobert, Nurkic, and Jordan Poole all had very distinct personalities. They're all guys that no one deserves to get punched in the face or strangled or whatever it is he did to Nurkic. But there's certain guys that just sort of rub you the wrong way. And all three of those guys have a tendency to do that.
I'll tweak it slightly because I want to remove Poole because I don't think there's an excuse for punching your teammate. But...
No, but he had a personality that I think led to what ultimately, yes, was one of the ugliest acts we've witnessed in recent memory.
But where I was going to replace him in the trio of most wanted names on Draymond Green's hit list would be Rudy Gobert, Yusuf Nurkic, and Domantas Sabonis.
Mm.
All three of those players, I think, are, well, number one, they're Europeans, and they're kind of soft.
I read an article recently about Sabonis, how he's becoming one of the most underrated players in the NBA.
Well, statistically,
his numbers are crazy.
Yeah, last year he led the league in triple-doubles.
This year, he's having an all-star type year.
Well, he had an all-star type year last year. I don't think he made it, which people are mad about. It's a shame the Kings are struggling.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not very good. They're 9-11. God, they're only a game above Portland right now.
I'm telling you, the Blazers, man, so much for...
Big Chauncey Billups guy?
No, but so much for Cooper Flagg headed into the Pacific Northwest.
All right, well, you want to give the people a preview of what's coming up on Warriors Live at 5 o'clock before the 6 o'clock tip between Golden State and Phoenix. Dan Devone's got that for you tonight, by the way. Lock in.
Yeah, so we'll take a look at the Phoenix Suns and get a little deeper into, of course, as we talked about their big three. And the Warriors looking to stop the bleeding. And they're going to have to do it on the road against a good Phoenix Suns team.
Right on. Well, we appreciate you sticking with us through all the ups, the downs, everywhere in between. And our conversations, as always, that we enjoy here on Warriors This Week. Big thank you to Ken Luttrell, our number one alpha producer, along with Dan Devone.
My truffle
name is Evan Giddings. Truffle hunting.
That's what I was looking for. Hunting for truffles. And I was looking about mushrooms. It's truffles. Truffle hunting. That's what you and I are going to go. And that's what olive oil complements. So that's what you and I are going to go truffle hunting. And then we're going to get some good olive oil. And you'll be living, man.
And we'll go truffle hunting next
week. You're going to wash it down with a Budweiser and just ruin the whole goddamn day.
I'm more of a Bud Light guy, not Bud Heavy. And that does it for us on Warriors This Week. We'll talk to you next time on 95.7 The Game.